Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Keith, today we welcome to the program.
We have the Monroe County Republican Chair, who is also a Ward 2 Town Council member in Ellettsville, William Ellis.
William, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Well, we appreciate you finding some time for us today. We've had some busy things going on here in Ellettsville recently, and part of planning and zoning and all kinds of fun stuff. Well, let's start there, because I know that was a big story earlier this week, as a rehab facility was looking to move in Smith Valley Road. Tell us the story about that and why people in Ellettsville weren't real happy about how the zoning process, but how this could happen in their backyard.
Well, first of all, is it Union Valley Road?
Oh, Union Valley, sorry.
A lot of people, I think that the petitioner did not do a good job of explaining what this facility would be like. And a lot of the concerns would not even apply to this type of facility. In other words, this was a luxury type of facility, like 15 patients max. And most of those go in neighborhoods like that, and they kind of blend in and be invisible. But the petitioner did not make the case. They did nothing to make get the community involved and help that beforehand. So the biggest concern, I think, for a lot of the people is that the way the zoning was already set up on this piece of land, it's already kind of a hybrid, part commercial already and part agricultural. And they're concerned that if it was changed to a higher level of commercial, what could go in there next? Now, to be clear, this was just a variance and would only apply to this one place. But again, there was concern that, okay, this place gets it. If they change ownership or change direction, the physical facility is still there, but are they going to take, you know, they're going to open it up to everybody and not just the luxury if their financial model didn't work, because it is a for profit. It's something I would love to see in Ellettsville, but it would have to be one that the neighbors are fully on board with, and those concerns are addressed before it goes to the BZA.
And that's the Board of Zoning Appeals that looks at this. And William, do you feel that it was, I don't want to say this in a negative connotation, but it feels like we try to sneak it in the back door and people are just looking for transparency. Would that be an accurate way to put this together?
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Kevin Tolity, our plan director and the BZA board, I will say on this, I mean, I've not talked to them in detail about this aspect of it. I don't think they really thought this would be that controversial when they were going to do it, because of the type of luxury facility it would be, which is more like the day spa than the type of thing people really would have thought. But the petitioner, like I said, did not make that very clear. And when you have, I think it was a record for our Zoom, 85 residents of the area, everybody speaking in opposition to this, that is not the time to start making your case to what type of facility it is. And you've got to lay the groundwork well in advance and have definite plans that if this happens, it won't change. This is the type it's going to stay. And that was not done. Now, I think if we ever have something like this again, it will be talked about and beforehand. To give you an idea how low-key this was, as a member of the town council, I found out about it on social media before I actually had any any communication about it from the BZA.
That sometimes gets your attention in a different way.
Yes, exactly.
Mr. Ellis, one of the other big stories, and I don't want to let this get by, you made an appointment to a commission, and
correct,
you made that appointment because the mayor had not made the appointment that he was entitled to make, and you took the prerogative of being chair of the Republican Party to make that appointment. That's all now ended up in court. Meantime, the person that the mayor replaced your person with is serving. And where is this all going, and why is it in court?
Well, first of all, I think it was on the, I may have a date a day or two wrong. As I always tell people, I am a lot of things, but I'm not an attorney. Mm-hmm. But April, I think, like 23rd, I appointed Andrew Gunther, who had served on chair of the Environmental Commission for the city, had run for elective office, and he had been following the Plan Commission and their goings-on for years. So he's very well qualified for this position. Well, made the appointment. A week passes, didn't hear anything from the city. Now, keep in mind, when I made the appointment, not only did I alert the press, I sent the mayor an email. Because of COVID, there's no other way to do this. I sent city legal and the city clerk. So everything was filed there properly. Did not hear word one back from the city, any of their representatives. Then sometime, say beginning of May, mid-May, all of a sudden the mayor makes the point, well, we're appointing Chris Cockrum. Now, I want to be 100% clear on this. Chris Cockrum's a great choice. And if I would have known he was interested in this position, he would have been considered, but I did not. And so this is no reflection of the person the mayor appointed. It's the reflection of the fact the mayor did not have that appointment authority after the 90 days. It defaults to the Republican chair. And what their whole argument seems to be is that, well, the last person on this board was independent, so I have no authority to do this. Well, they didn't even reach out to try to solve this amicably beforehand. So we were forced to file suit when Chris Cockrum was seated. But one of the things that we're saying in the lawsuit is there's no legal ability to appoint somebody that's a quote-unquote independent. The law, even when Nick Kappas was appointed, you had to do a couple things. You had to do one, you had to say, I'm a member of this political party and have a voting record to back up. So actually, that's two things. Say that, and if you stated that you were a member of the political party and you did not have a voting record, you were supposed to come to the county chairman and get a waiver or letter of something recognizing, yes, you're a member of this party. None of those things were done. And I'm puzzled as to what their entire argument is. They have filed what's called an interlocutory appeal on the motion to dismiss. Motion to dismisses are pretty much done, you know, with any cases just to try to throw it out of court. And in this case, it was standing. The judge, Eric Allen from Greene County, said, no, William Ellis and Andrew Gunther, there's a question of standing. He didn't rule that we did, but if there's a question there, we have to actually move forward. The city's appealed that, and what I found so ironic in their appeal is they're saying we don't want to cost the taxpayers money. Are you kidding me? This is not funded by the Republican Party. This is funded by William Ellis and donors, and because I have to, as a named person, fund this with Andrew Gunther. So I don't want to hear about, oh, it's costing people money. There was a really good solution for that. Just seat our person we appointed. Cost nobody money. Everybody could have went home happy.
Now
it's one of, I think, 9 members. So it really boggles my mind that this is even going to be an issue.
And that was my next question for you, is why is this an issue if it's just one of 9 members? And if it's cut and dry, why are we in the phase of the legal process where we are now?
I think it's cut and dry. I've not heard anything from the mayor where it's not. They're kind of patching together code laws from that apply to different things. And again, my opinion. And the fact of the matter is Chris Cockrum was seated. We have no way of physically forcing the seat. We did ask and demanded the city give Andrew Gunther credentials. They refused. And it wasn't until, I want to say, at May that they actually did a refusal and say we're appointing somebody else. So we have no way of, you know, examples done by Zoom. We can't, Andrew couldn't just go to Zoom and take his seat. But he did make it clear in the chat comments that was his rightful seat. And again, that was ignored.
We're speaking with William Ellis, who is the Monroe County Republican chair. And let's get to the chase. How can this end? What if you win, what have you got, and where does it go from there? If the other side wins, what have they got, and what happens?
If we win, it's simple. The rule of law prevails. This law was passed. It clarifies a previous law that you cannot have independence. The independent thing is a way for people to manipulate the statute that was before then to say, oh, I've got 9 independents on there, when they're all partisans of their political party that just haven't voted in a primary. There is no independent party in the state of Indiana. None. There's 3 recognized parties. That's not one of them. So I think that whole thing that nobody in I'd love to see if anybody's truly independent, because they're not. They have political belief on something or the other. I think that is, you can say nonpartisan, but independent, not really. But if we when we win, the rule of law will be upheld. Now, the other thing, since the city is making this argument that Nick Kappas is, you know, an independent, we've had to move to vacate. There's a statute that says if these things weren't done that I outlined before, that the position's vacated. So now it puts the city at very big risk, because if this position's vacated, which we don't expect it not to be. This is what we expect to happen. Every plan decision that Nick Kappas rule on could be called in question. We did not want to go down this route, but unfortunately, the city has pushed it. And the city is going to incur legal fees from this no matter what, even after we're done. Because even if the city prevails, basically what they're saying, what the courts are saying, state laws are suggestions, not laws. That's why I don't think any way the city is going to prevail with this.
William Ellis is our guest this afternoon, the chair of the Republican Party here in Monroe County. And what is the timeline on the next phase of this? Is it whenever the judge gets around to it? What do you have in front of you?
Well, we have asked for an expedited ruling, and I think expedited for the courts are a little different interpretation of what I would think is expedited. For me, it means tomorrow, but now that it's going to the appellate court, my understanding is the appellate court can either agree to hear it or not agree to hear it. If they agree to hear it, there's more times for, you know, we have to file, they have to file, kind of the process starts over. So that's a big question. How soon? I don't know. But the longer this drags out, I'm concerned for the city that we've got a situation where someone is appointed to the board that may be ruled that they shouldn't have been appointed to. So we're not only talking about the Kappas appointment, we're talking about the future one. And I think I would have thought that the city would be concerned about the repercussions of that, but it doesn't seem that they are.
Interesting. Very interesting. We're going to get caught up with you down the road as this continues. So Keith will be in touch, and we will get you back on the program. We're just up against it here at the top of the hour, William. We're not chasing you off.
No, I understand that. That's
not
the
case.
You got to pay the bill.
That's right. And we're going to pay a few here and listen to Joe Smith. But we'll be in touch to have you back on so you can keep us updated throughout this process. Thank you, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care.